Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Bible Beyond the Basics. It's a pleasure to be in your homes another time and to continue the study of God's words. Let me hope you had a very good week. And if it has not been as good as you would have liked it, well, as you stay with us on Bible Beyond the Basics, I pray that your week or your weekend will have a good start to it and things will be better. There is always a brighter day, a brighter time ahead. We've got to keep hope, keep faithful, keep trusting. Bible Beyond the Basics. This week we begin a new series, a series on justification by faith or righteousness by faith. This is one of my favorite subjects, and I enjoy sharing it because it is so invigorating. It is filled with so much hope. And as we go through this series, I will be presenting 3 to 4 presentations on the subject of righteousness by faith, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. I always enjoy making these presentations. And as we go through this new series, we look forward to having a great time. Justification by faith or righteousness by faith, one and the same thing. Before we begin the study, I invite you to pray with me. Father God in heaven, we give you thanks for another week, and we also give you thanks for the privilege we have to study your words. As we do so now, we invite your Spirit to be close to us. We invite your Spirit to take our hearts, take our minds, take our entire being, and invigorate us and give us new life, new energy, new spirit. Please, Lord, bless us now. Help us to understand. And as we understand, Lord, may we glorify your name. May we be able to love humanity better by studying, by knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Justification by faith. What is this all about? Well, the word justification, our English word, is from the Greek word dikaiosune, that is a noun, or the adjective dikaios, meaning just, or the verb dikaio, justify, to justify. It's a legal term, and it's also a relational term, but more so a legal term. It describes the status of an individual after he or she has been tried and found innocent. He, she now stands in a state of freedom, acceptance to society, if it has to do with the society. In the context of our study, it has to do with the relationship with God. So if you are justified where God is concerned, it means that you are innocent, you are free, you are accepted, and as we will see, you qualify for all the blessings of God. The concept also has to do with how people are saved now and ultimately. It has to do with how we remain in a state of, let me say, okayness, rightness with God. How we are saved now and for the future. How we stay in the good relationship with God. The New Testament teaches us that human beings are justified before God based on the merits of Jesus Christ. We are justified because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In other words, we are accepted to God. We are seen as innocent before God. We are seen as just based on the grounds, the merits of someone else. That is Jesus Christ. We are not seen as just, accepted to God, based on how handsome or pretty we look, based on how good we are, based on the denomination of which we find ourselves, granted that is very important, our justified status before God is not based or caused by any of the above realities I just mentioned. We are only justified or accepted before God based on the merits of Jesus Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 28. Please, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Being, Romans 3, 24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. In fact, let me read from verse 21 to give a little bit more context to this. Paul is writing to the Roman believers. In verse 21, he writes, "And now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Apart from law, the righteousness or the justifying act of God has been manifested. In the Greek, has been manifested is in the perfect tense, and it means that it was manifested in the past and it's potently present now. The righteousness of God stands present now, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What's the law and the prophets? In short, the entire Old Testament, all the legal system and all the councils of the Old Testament bear witness to the righteousness of God. Granted, that righteousness of God is manifested apart from the Old Testament, although the Old Testament points to it. We will get back to this verse and amplify and clarify as we continue in subsequent studies. Let me read again. "Now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction." Even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is something we will come back to. The faith of Jesus Christ versus faith in Christ. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Let me read verse 23, 24 again. "For all have sinned," we all know that, "for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but this same all are being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." We skip down to verse 28. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of law." Paul was here writing to the Roman believers, and he was communicating the point most forcefully that human beings are justified by Jesus's sacrifice, by His act, by His righteousness, apart from anything good that they could ever do, that they could ever think of. We are justified by the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ apart from our good behavior. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but through the faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of law, since by works of law no flesh will be justified." We who are Jews by nature and not sinners. In other words, Paul was saying, in short, we who are good church people, we who are keeping God's law, the Jews, they had the law as their prerogative. It was part of their culture. Paul was saying, we who are Jews by nature, we are good law keepers. Nevertheless, verse 16, a man is not justified by works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. In other words, we cannot do anything good. We cannot be good enough by our actions to be justified before God. Think about it. Why is it that we cannot be good enough? We cannot keep the law in order to be justified. Logically speaking, if you are in line with the law 100%, then you should be justified. If you keep the law in all its perfection, in all its particulars, then you should be seen as justified. You should be seen as okay. You should be seen as right in right keeping with the law. Hence, you should be justified. That's logical. However, the Bible is saying that our law keeping, even when it is 100%, when it is perfect, cannot be good enough to qualify us for justification. Isn't God a just God? There is a problem here. The problem is not so much with our actions. Granted, our actions are always falling short. But there is another problem with us as human beings. The other problem is we are sinners not only by virtue of the wrong things we do, we are also sinners by virtue of who we are. We are sinners by nature. The psalmist declares in Psalm 51, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Sin is not only the wrong things that we do, but sin at its core is who we are. We are sinners by nature. So even when we are not doing anything wrong, we are still sinners. We sin because we are sinners, not in order to become sinners. It's like a cow eats grass because it is a cow, not in order to become a cow. So we are sinners by nature, consequently. Even when we are not doing anything wrong, there is something within us that is constantly rebelling against God, our sinful nature, and that in and of itself is sin. We stand guilty before God because of who we are. All you need to do in order to be a sinner is to exist. So there is no point, therefore, in God resting or making our justification based on the good things we do. Because even if we keep the law in terms of actions 100%, in terms of who we are still violators. And you cannot live outside of your person. You cannot jump out of your skin and live. So we are sinners by virtue of who we are. So God realized that we are in a predicament. However, he had a plan. He had a way out. And what he did was to make Jesus, the person of Jesus himself, who was perfect in his being. He accepted Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' actions, his life, his death, his resurrection, his very person, his essence, as being our righteousness. Consequently, whenever we accept Jesus, we come into a state of right relationship, right standing with God, because his righteousness becomes ours. Please stay with us. We're going to take a short break and we'll return and amplify this some more.
Word of God, speak, would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest. God speak. Word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak.
Thanks for staying with us. Before the break, we discussed the fact that we are sinners by virtue of who we are, plus by our wrong actions. And because of that, God made the person of Christ our righteousness. Let me read a text or two which communicates the point. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Verse 19. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Through one man's disobedience, speaking of Adam's disobedience, we inherit a sinful condition as a result of Adam's sin. As through one man's disobedience, that is Adam's, the many were made sinners. And when Paul used the term the many, it was a colloquial expression in his day to mean everyone. So let me substitute the word everyone or all as through one man's disobedience, all were made sinners, even through the obedience of the one, the many, that is all, will be made righteous. So we are made righteous through the obedience of one person, the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, our law keeping, as good as it may become, will never be good enough to qualify us as being justified before God. God uses the righteousness, the law-keeping, the goodness of Jesus as our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through to 8, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So we have the gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now let's have a logical deduction here. If Jesus' righteousness is our righteousness, then let's make 100% righteousness the uppermost limit of righteousness there can be. How much righteousness would Jesus possess? 100%, of course. But if his righteousness is my righteousness, it means that I have 100% righteousness before God. Now, that is good news, because God cannot ask you for more than the maximum amount of righteousness there is. So if Jesus has all the righteousness in the world, and he is my righteousness, it means that before God, I have all the righteousness in the world. It's good news. That's the reason why the Bible says that the person who is in Christ is saved. Ephesians chapter 2, we just read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. You are saved in the sense that you now qualify to enter heaven. Not only that, but you qualify for all God's blessings. Blessings of good health. You qualify for the blessings of peace of mind. You qualify for financial and material prosperity where God is concerned. You qualify for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have all the righteousness that God could ever ask you for. Therefore, if you have met all the righteousness of God could ever ask you for, then there is nothing that God has to give that he cannot give to you, that you don't qualify for. You do qualify. That's good news. And I want to spend the other 2-3 weeks on amplifying on this. The fact that when you accept Jesus, when you are justified, you qualify for all God's blessings. That's the reason why the New Testament speaks of the believer as having all the blessings of the age to come, all the blessings of heaven, all the blessings of the new earth, the believer now possesses in Christ. He has eternal life now. That's the type of life we live in heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, present tense, eternal life. You are a citizen of heaven now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. You are justified. You have the Holy Spirit. You are sealed for eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, and chapter 4 and verse 30. The point is, with Jesus, you qualify. You are justified. Let's just enjoy this some more. I know whenever this is spoken, there are people who say, well, but, you know, is there something you have to do? Isn't there a responsibility? Of course, there is a responsibility. There are responsibilities having been justified. But before we focus on what we need to do for God, let's just stop and enjoy what he has done for us. Let's affirm the status we have in Jesus. That is a status of salvation, a status of okayness, if I may coin the word, before God, a status of righteousness. As Christians, we need to realize that that is our status by virtue of accepting Jesus Christ. Of course we have problems. Of course we are weak sinners. Of course we make mistakes. But the point is, it's dependent on who you know, not on what you are doing. Your justification is pegged to the fact that you are with Christ. And while being with Christ, of course, mistakes and problems will be in your life. But that's beside the point. The text, Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 5, etc., is saying you are justified simply by being with Christ. You are justified by the faith of Jesus apart from works of law. In subsequent presentations, I will amplify our responsibility. But for now, for this week, we are simply affirming the fact that we are saved. We are in Christ. We are okay. You see, beloved, what God has done for us is more important than what we can do for him. So the greater part of our time and our energy should be focused on what God has done for us, not what we can do for him. As such, therefore, please affirm with me the fact that if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are a justified person. You have all the righteousness that God could ever ask you for. You qualify for heaven. You are a child of God. You are okay. God loves you. You are his child. Forget about the fact for now that you have some problems. that you are still struggling with some weaknesses. Let's just affirm who we are. We are children of God. And Christians spend more time in contemplating what they need to do for God above the time they spend affirming what God has done for them. This week, I'm not talking anything. I will not say anything about law keeping or responsibility. I'm just praising and affirming the fact that we are saved. We are God's children by virtue of accepting Jesus Christ. You must first affirm your status before you can understand your responsibility. You must first understand what God has done for you before you can have any idea of what you must do for Him. And there are too many Christians who are wondering, who are not sure of their salvation. The point is, you're a sinner, yes, but you're a sinner saved by grace. You've accepted Jesus Christ, and as you are, you stand 100% righteous before God. You qualify for heaven. There is nothing more that God can ask you for. Why? You have the righteousness of Jesus, and God will not go beyond that. Thank you for staying with us. I hope this was affirming to you. I hope it is a blessing. As we continue our study on the subject, we will look at our responsibility and other things. As a matter of fact, before we even get to our responsibility, there is much more contextual framework in which justification by faith occurred in the Pauline writings, which we will look at next week. God bless you. Thanks for staying with us. It is a pleasure being with you. Please go affirming the fact that you are saved, you are justified, you are God's child. Walk with pride, heads up. You belong to God. Jesus loves you. God bless. Take care. Please come next week for part two on justification by faith. Bye-bye for now.